Psalm 23, after we read and pray and take our seats, then the ladies will come and sing one more song before the message. Let's stand together, please, in honor of God's good book this morning. Psalm 23, verse number 5. Psalm 23, verse number 5. David wrote these words, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over." Dear Father, I pray that You'll please bless the message from Your book this morning. Thank You for this infallible Word that You've given us. I pray, O God, that our eyes, our ears, our wills will be yielded to the precious Word of God as we preach it this morning. Lord, may Your Spirit speak to us. Lord, deal with the heart that's most needy this morning. And I'll thank You for it. Bless the song and the message to follow in Christ's name. And amen. Thank you. Be seated. Morning, well sung for our hearts. Thank you. Verse number 5, David wrote the words there, a testimony, "My cup runneth over." So I want to ask a question in the title of the message this morning. Is your cup running over? It's supposed to be. It should be. Is your cup running over? Dear Father, thank You for this wonderful psalm. The most widely known, most familiar psalm, speak to our hearts from it this morning. Even though we could quote it, I pray that it'll be like a fresh rose blooming in the garden this morning, that God, You'll help us to get something out of it for our hearts. May every needy heart have that need met this morning. And we'll thank You in Jesus' name. And amen. This is the most widely known and most greatly loved psalm of all the 150 psalms, the shepherd's psalm, if you will. David himself, a good shepherd, writing about the Lord, the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd. David lists several different blessings that were his because the Lord was his shepherd. And he said in verse number 5, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." This is not my message this morning, but tied into it. So let me give you a couple of thoughts about that phrase before I move on to the phrase of interest for the sermon this morning. A good man has enemies. No way around it. Every godly man will have enemies. Every godly woman will have enemies. Every godly teenager will have enemies. We should have enemies. If we are like Jesus Christ, we will have enemies. Jesus said, "If they hate you, they hated me first." Don't forget that. And the servant's not above his Lord. Amen. So we'll have enemies in this life. There will always be those who are opposed to people who live a life of godliness. You see, people who have the right relationship with the world will have enemies. Because the world is an enemy to God. Now, they can talk superficially about God and Jesus and all that, but when you really get into a relationship with them, they don't want anything to do with your following your Savior. All right? So you're going to be on the outside with the world, and you should be, because the Bible tells us that the world is at enmity with God. Now, what does that say about me and you if we fit in comfortably with the crowd that He says is at enmity with Him? I don't say too much. That don't say too well about me. If I fit in real easy with the crowd that He says is an enemy of Him, then I've got problems. Okay, so to be cozy and comfortable with the world puts you in a precarious position with God. Don't forget that. My point is, we will have enemies. We should have enemies. You don't go out and make enemies on purpose. There's no merit in doing that. You live godly in Christ Jesus, they'll come. They'll be there. They'll show up. All right. However, the child of God who has enemies for God's sake can still be at peace. Look at what he says here. "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." In other words, David said, my enemies don't rob from me the fullness of God's blessing. You know, the word table gives the idea of a feast, a meal. Soldiers don't get tables spread for them in the presence of their enemies. Soldiers grab a bite and they go. It's good to see Brother Vineyard this week. I always think of Brother Vineyard when I think of soldiers. And I saw him for half a day on Tuesday, then he flew to Pennsylvania to be at Brother Coral's Shooters Expo. And I said, "Brother Vineyard, how are you feeling?" "Terry, watch this." This is how we introduced her. "Brother Vineyard, how are you feeling?" "Terry, watch this." He jumped, fell down, got on his belly. I can do free fingertip push-ups. And so he started doing it. And he did. One, two, free. And that's what he did. And he did those fingertip push-ups. And he's feeling better and doing well. And I think of a soldier. I think of Brother Vineyard. A soldier doesn't have a table spread before him in the presence of his enemies. A soldier snatches a meal on the run. He grabs and goes. He gets the rations. He eats in a lickety-split second of time. And then he's back to battle. But I want you to see here, the Bible said the Lord prepares a table. Now, I don't know what mental picture you get when you read that. I see the woman in the home unfolding the tablecloth and dressing the table carefully. I see her unrushed and unhurried setting the dishes around. I see her very carefully placing the utensils that'll be used. I see her putting a centerpiece there, maybe a candle, and she's preparing a table, like some of you ladies at home. Prepare a table, a feast, a meal for your family. There's no confusion. The enemy lurks. The enemy's presence is certain, yet there is peace. There is fulfillment. There is satisfaction within the four walls of the home. You know, that's the honest truth. There can be a lot going wrong in the life of a man. Work can be in turmoil. Things can be upside down, topsy-turvy. Finances can be tight.
But if he can come home to a place of peace and contentment, and there's a good wife there who's cooked a home-cooked meal from scratch, and ladies, that is still a good way to cook. Amen. They do make biscuits that don't come out of those little round cylinders. Amen. And it's nice to have a table spread. I want to tell you something, fellas. You can say amen to this. If you, it can be topsy-turvy out there. And you walk into that, and there's something very peaceful about that. There's something very comforting to a man's heart about having that table spread. That place that we're going to sit down and have a meal. And David said that his God, his Lord, prepared a table before him, for him in the presence of his enemies. If you've been here on Wednesday night, you know David had plenty of enemies. But David said it never robbed from the fullness and blessing of the blessing of God. Now, he then lists two more blessings. He says, "Thou anointest my head with oil." And then he says, "My cup runneth over." My cup runneth over. Now, what picture do you see in your mind's eye when you read the words, "My cup runneth over"? I don't think it's too hard to picture that. You see a picture, and you see water pouring into that cup, and you see that cup filling up to the top, and then spilling over the sides, splashing onto the counter or the table or the saucer or the platter, wherever the cup is sitting. It's just flowing over out of the top of that cup. That's the picture I get. My cup runneth over. And by the way, these last two phrases are still tied to the picture of the first phrase. That feast, that table. That, you know, in Bible times, when a man would provide a great feast, not only would the table be prepared sufficiently and there'd be plenty of food, but he would provide these aromatic oils at the close of the meal. He would provide these oils, and the men would use the oils. The people would use the oils. They were good for conditioning the skin. They would make the countenance shine a little bit. And they would use the oils for different things. That was complimentary at every feast. And then the host always provided the guests with a cup. He always provided. I'm sure it wasn't a cup that had Robert E. Lee's picture on it and Stonewall Jackson and Jefferson Davis and the Stars and Bars. But this is my cup this morning, so amen. And we'll let that represent the cup that the Lord gave me, all right? It got Stone Mountain on there and all that good place. From, I think Elizabeth Nieman bought that cup for me, and I still use it and still think about her when I do. So there it is. And the host would give the guest a cup. And David said the cup that God had given him was running over. That's what he said. He said, "My cup runneth over." Folks, that's how salvation is supposed to be. That's what it should provide for you and for me. Salvation should provide an overflowing, abundant, full, content, satisfying, blessed experience as we go through this life. And if you have a cup this morning, if you're saved, your cup should be overflowing. Hold your place here in Psalm 23. Actually, you don't need to do that. We're going to come to some other places in Psalms. But I'm going to show you three verses, bang, 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 in the Gospel of John. Go to the Gospel of John and chapter 4. The Gospel of John, chapter 4. And just as you read these verses with me, kind of pay attention to what kind of picture you get from these verses as it talks about the Christian life. John chapter 4 and verse number 14. Look what Jesus said here. These are the words of Jesus speaking to the woman by the well there in Samaria, the woman of Samaria. He said in verse 14, "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him, a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Do you see that? A well of water springing up into everlasting life. Now, look at John chapter 7, just a couple of pages over. John chapter 7 and verse 37. John 7 and verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Do you see that? "Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Be as a well springing up," he said in John 4. Here in John 7, he said it'll be like rivers of living water flowing from his belly. Where is that, folks? That's inside us. All right, look at John chapter 10. John chapter 10, a familiar verse to you, John chapter 10 and verse number 10. Again, Jesus speaking here. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Now, do you get the picture? This is what salvation is supposed to be for us. Hey, wait a minute. I'm not talking about when you get to be 50 years of age like me. I'm talking about at 35. I'm talking about at 25. I'm talking about at 15. I'm talking about at 30. I'm talking about whatever age or station you are in life. Salvation is supposed to be a cup running over. It's supposed to be a fullness, a blessedness, an abundance, a joy, a victory. Is your cup running over? Is your cup running over? I don't know. You have to answer that question yourself. Is your cup running over? Look over at Psalm 116. We're going to go to a few verses this morning, and it never hurts us to use the Bible. Amen. That's what Baptists do. Baptists use their Bibles. 116. Psalm 116, verse number 13. Psalm 116 and verse number 13. This is not a Psalm of David. This is some of the other writers of the book of Psalms, of course, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And it says here in Psalm 116 and verse number 13, he said, the writer here, I will take the cup of salvation. I'll take the cup of salvation. Do you have your cup this morning? Have you taken the cup of salvation? Have you called on Jesus Christ to be your Savior? That's how you get the cup of salvation. That's how you take it. Okay, salvation is not crammed down your throat even if you don't want it, like some believe. Salvation is at your receiving that cup, that salvation that God offers. He offers the cup of salvation to every man, every woman, every boy, every girl. Have you taken Him up on His offer? You are included in the whosoever will of the Bible. You're included in that whosoever will of John chapter 7. Whosoever will come and take of the water of life freely, Revelation says. Have you taken the cup of salvation? In order to be saved, you have to admit that you are lost. You have to admit that you need salvation. You see, it takes acknowledging the truth about your sinful condition before you can take the cup of salvation. And by the way, that's the most difficult part of witnessing to people. The most difficult part of witnessing to people is not telling them that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. It's not telling them that heaven waits. It's not telling them that they can escape hell. The most difficult part of salvation is helping them see that they're lost, that they need it. That's the most difficult part of it. Unless people are willing to admit that they're lost, they don't ever see the need to receive the cup of salvation. You know what the truth of the matter is? Many people are like a man who is driving and has lost his way. To stop and ask directions is to admit he's what? He ain't going to do that. Let me say, we ain't going to do that. We'll drive around for hours and figure it out. Amen? That's right. We'll get out of it somehow. That's what we meant. You know, I'll find my way out. Now, let me tell you something. That may work. That may work when you're driving a car, but when it comes to going to heaven, nobody's going to find their way out. You're going to go God's way or you're not going? That's what I was trying to tell some people yesterday. You want to know how to go to heaven, you're going to have to go God's way. You're going to have to go God's way. And that's what I'm talking about here. And the way out begins with you admitting that you're lost and coming to God and saying, God, I'm a sinner and I cannot be good enough to get to heaven and I cannot save myself. I need to be saved and I'm thankful that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again in my place, and I'm going to embrace what He did in my place for my salvation. I'm going to receive it and take it by faith right now. That's how you get saved. Do you have your cup this morning? I'm not talking about the cup in your cupboard. I'm not talking about the cup sitting on your desk or the cup in your cup holder in the car. I'm talking about the cup that's in here. Do you have the cup of salvation? Have you taken it? Okay. Growing up in church doesn't mean that you've taken the cup of salvation. Getting baptized doesn't mean you've taken the cup of salvation. It comes when you trust Christ, when you repent and receive Jesus as your personal Savior. Now, after you get saved, after you get your cup, God has designed for that salvation to overflow in our lives. He has designed for that cup to run over and run over, overflowing, like the verses in John 4, 7, and 10 teach us. Like David said here in Psalm 23, my cup runneth over. Now let me give you a couple of thoughts on this morning. We'll be done. Number one, there has to be a source of water. Right? For a cup to run over, there has to be a source of water. Now, you don't always have to have a bowl or a saucer or a platter, but for the sake of my illustration this morning, I'm gonna use that bowl right there because I'm going to make a mess, but I'll make as little a mess as I can. Amen. And just men make messes. That's what we do. We make messes. We knock things over. We spill things, and we leave a trail wherever we go. Amen. Not hard to find out where we've been. All right. So here it is. Now, there has to be a pitcher. Now, or there has to be a water. And the truth of the matter is, for this cup to run over, the source of water can't be a pitcher, can it? Because what happens to that pitcher after a while? It runs dry, right? It'll run for a while like this, but pretty soon, Brother Caleb, I'm going to ask you to do something very, very precarious here. I'm going to ask you to pour that water back in that pot. Here we go. Okay. You know what? I think I've got enough. Just let it sit right there for right now. Okay. Now, it can't be a pitcher. For there to be an endless supply or an endless source of water, what I must have is a fountain. A fountain that's just flowing, a source of water that is endless. A source of water that never runs dry. You got your Bible, Psalm 36? Look at that, chapters 36 in the book of Psalms. Psalm 36. A source of water that never runs dry. If God gave me a cup, and He designed for that cup to overflow, to provide bountifulness, to provide joy and blessing in life, then there has to be an endless supply of water overflowing that cup. In Psalm 36, in verse number 9, David wrote these words, "For with Thee is the fountain of life." The fountain of life. Now, where is the fountain of life? It's with the Lord. It's with God. God provides the cup, and then He is the source of, He is the fountain of, that which causes the cup to overflow. I don't suppose everybody in the auditorium can see that this morning. But that cup is overflowing. And that's what God provides the cup of salvation. He is the source of water for that cup. And He doesn't have a pitcher. He has a fountain that has an endless... You know what that cup's doing right there, folks? It's running over. It didn't run over. It's running over. You get the idea that it's perpetual? It's ongoing. Now we've got to get it back in there, Brother Caleb, okay? So this is what we're talking about. This is what God is. God is the fountain of life, okay? That's going to be a trick. But I got confidence in Brother Caleb. Amen. Here we go. Ready? It's all right. We get a little carpet on the carpet. It won't hurt. That's good. Very good. Thank you, Brother Caleb. Now, here's the mistake some people make. Okay? You take the cup of salvation. Okay? And then you take the cup of salvation. And here's the source of water. But you take the cup of salvation that God has designed to just be an overflowing source of blessing in your life. And you put it in the old lifestyle. The water's over here. You can't take salvation and put it in your old lifestyle and have that cup overflow. You can't do that. It doesn't work. Here's why, young lady. Hey, young lady. Hey, listen to me this morning, okay? Calm down a little bit, okay? Now, I'm happy for people to have fun, but don't distract others, okay? So now, here's the mistakes that people make. They're lost in sin, they're miserable, they're unhappy, something's missing in life, and so they get saved. They find out, you know, the world has no answer for my inside. The world has no answer for my void. The world has no answer for my lack of joy. All that is found in God. All that is found in the Word of God. All that's found in salvation. And they come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ and they get saved. And God gives them the cup of salvation, but then they take that cup back to the same old lifestyle. The lifestyle was void of God. And they run with the cup of salvation to the tavern. They run to the cup of salvation to the Hollywood movies. They run with the cup of salvation to a life that has no Bible, no church, no talking with God, rock music, rap music, the stuff that they were doing before they had a cup. And that kind of stuff is not going to go in God's cup. God's cup is not designed for that. It's designed for something altogether different. It's a lifestyle void of God. Now, I'm going to tell you what the cup of salvation was designed for. The cup of salvation was designed for a new lifestyle. The cup of salvation was designed for fellowship with God. I mean, talking to God and Him talking to you. And you read your Bible and you pray and God burns in your heart. The cup of salvation was designed for fellowship with other believers. You go to church, you sing the songs. It's not endurance, it's enjoyment. You don't visit, you go there. You take part, you sing. You get involved in the singing and the fellowship. And you get involved, bring your Bible, and you enjoy the preaching. And you have the fear of God in your life. And you have music that honors God, and entertainment that honors God, and motives that honor God, and serving others, and living a whole life. And what's that cup doing? It's overflowing. And that's how it happens. Brother Caleb, take this picture back to the bathroom somewhere and just fill it up with water. Instead of trying to do that again. Yeah, you take that bowl with you too. Bring it back empty, okay? I'll need it a little bit. Now, the cup of salvation. Look at your songbook. Take your songbook for a minute, okay? I know the songbook's not the inspired Word of God, but let me show you a song here. Look at page 218. Look at page 218. These old-fashioned hymns were right on target, man. Look at 218. Look at verse 1. You're there? What song are we looking at? Living for Jesus. Verse 1. Living for Jesus, a life that is true. Striving to please Him in all that I do. Yielding allegiance, glad-hearted and free. This is the pathway of blessing for me. That's it. Living for Jesus, a life. I don't take salvation's cup and put it back in the same old lifestyle I had before I got saved. It was empty. It was dry. It was void of everything. I take the cup of salvation and put it in those things. Put it in the place where God can put in it that which makes it overflow, that which makes it abundant, that which gives me victory. Living for Jesus, a life that is true. This is the pathway of blessing. Look at verse number 2. Living for Jesus who died in my place, bearing on Calvary my sin and disgrace. Such love constrains me to answer His call, follow His leading, and give Him my all. Let me ask you a question this morning. Is your cup overflowing? Is your cup overflowing? Is this going on in your life? Is this going on right now? I mean, right here. Is that happening? Why not? Why not? You say, well, I got problems and difficulties. No, 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 no. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup, it all ties together. My cup runs over in the presence of mine enemies. You see, it's people that are without me, problems that are without me, can't do anything to what's inside of me. My cup should be running over. And your cup should be running over. Is your cup running over this morning? Is it? You got to put salvation in the lifestyle that will help cause it to get filled with that which will run over and be a blessing. I can't take the cup of salvation and run back to the old lifestyle and expect that cup to run over. The one who gave me the cup wants to fill it. In fact, he wants to overfill it. Now, I must tell you this morning, and since October 1975, that's when I got my cup. I got my cup in October of 1975. That's when I got my cup right there, okay? And I'm going to tell you something. God has filled it to overflowing. It's just grace. But I put that cup in a new lifestyle. And brother, that new lifestyle, the God who gave me the cup is the same God who fills it to overflowing. He is the fountain of life, joy, victory, peace. It doesn't mean I don't have problems. It doesn't mean I don't have difficulties. It doesn't mean I don't have troubles. I do. But in the presence of those things, God prepares a table. He gives me that oil. And in the presence of those difficulties, my cup runs over. Man, I tell you, we got in from Oklahoma Friday night. That's a long drive Monday, a long drive Friday. We got back into town about 20 till 7 Friday night. I pulled into the parking lot here. I was going to meet Brother Caleb. And I pulled up here at the stoplight over here, waiting to turn in over here. And just waiting at that stoplight, looking at this church building, boy, my heart just overflowed. Man, I'm so glad to be back. And I thought about the people that I missed while I was gone. I thought about you folks. I thought about some of the folks that were on vacation for a couple of weeks and how I'd miss seeing them. Saw some of them yesterday and how glad I was to see them. And just the love for the people of this church and the joy of being the pastor of this church and the blessing of the fellowship that I have with you folks. And I'm going to tell you something, man. Sitting at that stoplight over there, I got a grapefruit in my throat. Just a grapefruit. Just filled with blessing. My heart just ran over. Huh? You don't have any problems? You don't have any difficulties, Brother Andy? Oh, I don't. No, I got them. But in the presence of those difficulties, my cup runneth over. Is yours running over this morning? That's how it's supposed to be. Supposed to be running over. Huh? But you got to be under the source. You got to be under the source of supply. And He's that fountain of life. Fountain. He's the fountain. Let me say number 2 quickly this morning. Listen carefully. You got to stay close to the source. You got to stay close to the source. Look at Jeremiah chapter 2. Look at Jeremiah chapter 2 real quick. I'll just give you a verse here. We'll close it down because we'll get on for the kids upstairs. Look at Jeremiah chapter 2. And look at verse number 11. Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse number 11. Jeremiah is speaking to these people here, the nation of Israel. And he says, "Hath a nation changed their gods which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit." Boy, that's a powerful statement right there. "Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith the Lord." You know what God, you know what Jeremiah said? He said, when a Christian changes his source of blessing, the heavens don't understand it. It should shake up the whole universe. Look at verse number 13. "For my people have committed 2 evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters." Forsaken him. Do you know what that means? That means at one time, this is what was going on in your heart. This is what was going on in your life some months ago, some years ago, and it was flowing over. I'm not going to take the time to refill the pitcher of this now. And it was running over, but they forsook it. And if you had to be honest this morning, you know what you would have to say? My cup ran over. You'd have to be honest. You'd have to say, my cup ran over. Past tense. Used to. But your cup's not running over this morning. It's not. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. Listen to me. It's not because of the circumstances in your life. Because David said his cup ran over in the presence of his enemies. Why isn't your cup running over? I'm going to tell you why. You got away from the source. You were under the fountain, but you got distracted. You pulled back in. You pulled away. You got bitter at God and said, that's the way you're going to treat me. And you pulled away from God. You pulled away from the things that overflowed your cup. And it's all past tense now. And not only has the cup quit running over, the truth of the matter is, it's been so long for some, through evaporation, it's dried up. It's dry this morning. Parched, dry, thirsty, barren. And it shouldn't be that way, friend. Your salvation was designed to be a cup running over in spite of your problems. In spite of your problems. My cup runneth over. It's dry. And the truth of the matter is, to get you back under the right place and to get you back where your cup could flow over again, it's about as hard as getting a lost person saved. The hardest part of getting a lost person saved is having them admit they're lost. And the hardest part about getting somebody back under the source of blessing is having them admit their way. They flit around, jump around to everything and trying to fill that void, and it won't do it. There's nothing in the world that will cause your cup to overflow. We'll make all the excuses, point all the finger blame somewhere else. No, look. You just need to get back under the source. Remember how it used to be. And remember, you know, it's amazing to me. Every once in a while, a church member who's been here for many years will say to me, you know, Pastor, since we moved to the new auditorium, it just doesn't seem like I get as much out of the services as we did in that little old building over there we used to be in. I got a person that's been here a month. Man, I can't believe it. I never heard so much. I can't believe it. Oh, this is the greatest. Which is it? It can't be both. Those aren't even close to being normal. I mean, being similar. You know, I can't get nothing out of it. I can't believe how much I'm getting out of it. Bing, bing, bing. If I let that stuff get to me, I'd be like a pinball. I guess I just have to surmise that if you're in the right place, you still be getting something out of it. Because when you were at the place these folks are, your cup was running over too. But now it's just kind of become monotonous. There's been a few things happen. And I just don't see things the way that I used to. And I know. Much easier to say that than to say, you know, I'm just not where I used to be. You get out of the source, Brother Brown's favorite saying, under the spout where the glory comes out. You get under there, and it'll be there. I want to tell you something, listen very carefully. There's nothing wrong with the cup of salvation. There's nothing wrong with the source, the supply. Let's be honest. Every once in a while, you and I just move out of the way. He doesn't move. We move. You know the old story, the old illustration. You know, the couple driving down the road together, and she's sitting over against the door, the passenger door, and he's behind the wheel. And she's very quiet, kind of staring out the window. And he says, honey, what's wrong? Nothing. What's bothering you? I'm fine. What's the matter? Well, it's just not like it used to be. What's not like it used to be? Well, us. Us? No, it's just not like it used to be. Well, what do you mean it's not like it used to be? Well, you know, like it used to be. Like what? Well, like when we'd drive down the road together and we would sit next to each other and you'd put your arm around me and I'd put my hand on your leg and rub up and down your leg a little bit and we cuddled close together going down the road. Just not like that anymore. Down the road. Who moved? I know some of you have a hard time with men. I know. I see it on your face. I see it in your eyeballs. You're trying to make everybody else to blame for your problem, but you're just eating up inside. You can't even take a joke like that and laugh at it. Now, you're the one. You won't admit you ain't where you used to be. And until you say, you know what? I'm going to get back where I was. And guess what you'll find? Your cup will run over again. Can I do this without being ugly? Because I don't think it's been any secret. Matthew, am I right? Is the cup running over again, brother? Sure it is. Nothing made my heart happier. The cup's running over again. Yeah, man. Sure it is. It worked for you too. You just got to get back. Just got to get back. Is your cup running over? Huh? Is your cup running over? Well, I hope it is. I want it to be. That's every pastor's dream for his people. All right. Let's pray. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. Let's pray, and I got to clean up. Okay, two or three questions before we have invitation time here. Brother Angel, I'm saved and I know it. If I died right now, I know where I'd spend eternity. I'm saved and I know it. I can give that testimony this morning by raising my hand. Would you do that then? Would you raise your hand if you're saved and you know it? Wherever you're sitting this morning, would you do that? Thank you. Take your hands down. Who's here? Pastor, I could not raise my hand then. I don't know that I'm saved. I don't know that I've ever taken the cup of salvation. I thought you got saved by being in church. I thought you got saved by being baptized. I don't understand all. I don't know that I'm saved. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand, please? Let me pray for you this morning. Man, woman, boy or girl, teenager, front to back, side to side. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Would you lift a hand? Let me pray for you this morning. I'm not sure that I'm saved, Brother Angel. Anybody like that in the balcony, on the main floor? I'm not sure that I'm saved. Anybody? All right. Pastor, I've been saved but not baptized since I've been saved. Haven't followed the Lord in believer's baptism. And God's been working on my heart about that. I need to do that. I need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. I haven't done that yet. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand, please, wherever you're sitting? Would you do that? Okay. Well, I see one teenager. Need to have permission from your mom and dad about that. Hopefully that you're working with that with the people. Okay. Somebody else. If you have permission, you came to be baptized this morning, you come right now while we wait. Anybody? How many Christians here this morning, Pastor, the Lord spoke to my heart? If I had to be honest today, my cup is not running over, and I'd like to blame it on all these circumstances, events, people, Pastor so-and-so, brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, work, money, but I'm just not where I used to be. That's my problem. My cup is not running over. It did at one time. It's dry through evaporation. And I have moved from the source of endless supply. Pray for me. Would you lift a hand, please? That's a pretty pointed invitation. Well, there's a lot of hands. God bless you. Thank you. Take your hand down. Thank you. Take your hand down. If you visited with us already about your desire to join the church, you know this is where God wants you to be a member. We invite you to come present yourself for membership this morning. My dear Father, I hope this illustration this morning would be helpful to people. Lord, I know you want our cups to run over. And the lost world needs our cups to run over. And I pray, God, that you'll help people that lifted a hand this morning. I pray they get back to that place of blessing, that place of endless supply, and their cup would run over again. Oh, God, thank you. We love you. Bless any here this morning who are not saved. Thank you for these that have come to be baptized. God bless, I pray. Invitation in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you're not saved, as soon as the music begins, come right down the aisle. Tell Brother Caleb, I need to be saved. Come follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Join the church. If you raised your hand, said God spoke to your heart this morning about that overflowing cup, you ought to visit the altar. Come from the balcony. Come from the main floor. But if God spoke to you, do Him the service of speaking back. Let's stand, please. Ladies, play us a song, would you? They're playing that song, Living for Jesus, a life that is true. cup running over, huh? That's the question.
Is your cup running over? Be honest this morning, is it? Stand resolute, stiff spine. It's only going to add to the dryness. Yielding, submitting, bending, bowing, giving up. Going back. That's how the cup overflows. Would you come, let God speak to your heart. Dear Father, bless. I pray the message to our hearts this morning. I pray that we'll stay under that endless supply. And that our cups will run over. Dear God, please. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.